Yo, I'm building my own dream. All because y'all said I couldn't.
Two for the team. We getting off of the block. I see him aiming at me. Tell him get off of my jock. I'm gone. Blackout. I'm gone. Blackout. I'm gone. Blackout. Give me my ish. I'm back now.
Welcome to another episode of the How to Build Your Own Dreams podcast.
Yeah.
I'm Erin Knight, the co-founder and president of How to Build Your Own Dreams. I'm Erin Knight, the co-founder and president of Build Your Own Dreams.
Yes, sir. I'm Brandon. I am the co-founder of Build Your Own Dreams, and we're back with another episode.
Vice president.
I don't know what number we're at, but we're still in Los Angeles. It's still Grammy week. What's up? How you feeling?
I'm cold, you know. Yeah. I thought it was gonna be a little warmer in LA. I'm glad I brought jackets, but I'm doing well. I'm encouraged and I'm excited.
Bet. So yeah.
So today we're talking about industry standards.
Yeah. I guess let's define not what industry standards is, but like
what
the definition
means
of industry standards.
So an industry standard is what currently we're in the music industry. We work in a lot of industries, but we focus on the music industry currently. And so we're talking about music industry standards. But the industry standard is basically whatever people consider the norm, typically when it comes to business structures, percentages, finances, and the way that you're supposed to conduct yourself via business.
Right.
That's considered an industry standard.
And that was set by the man.
The man, which is white men ages ago. Nothing to do with us.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of our struggles from last year, but really since
our
we've been a company.
Our whole lives.
Really one of our main struggles, people like to box us into the industry standard.
Our
right?
whole lives.
I mean, yes, our whole lives, but particularly for Build Your Own Dreams, that's just been a reoccurring battle we've been fighting.
It shows up when we're negotiating contracts, when we're coming up with strategic marketing plans for our artists, when we're trying to merge businesses that typically don't work together, i.e. ours. We're a full-scale agency.
Right.
People really don't understand that.
Right. And then when we're talking to potential new clients or new projects we're working on, whatever, they want to box us in, y'all. But you can't box in greatness.
At all.
And this is not like...
We don't even... we're not
humbly,
in a box.
Humbly, respectfully. Yeah, we an agency. We do a handful of different things. So, for example, right, we're in artist management, right? So it's the industry standard for a manager to get typically what 15 to 20%, right?
As an artist manager,
so let's stress that artist manager,
singular person,
one person.
If you're on a management team, it's customary to get between 30 to 50%, especially when you're like a Scooter Braun or somebody like that. They take 50, sometimes higher percentages,
right? Okay, and then what's some of the manager duties or responsibilities industry standard?
So what when the industry was set, a manager was supposed to take care of an artist. A manager is a glorified babysitter according to the way that the industry is set up. So you're supposed to receive information, give it to your artists, you know, you help them navigate the industry. But typically, like, when it was started, like, labels would sign an artist, they would give them life, and then the manager would just manage everything that's coming in. The way that the industry is set up now, most managers function, at least to a degree, as the developmental stage. So they are the label, right? A lot of times they're doing booking, they're doing strategic marketing, they're doing those type of things, but typically it's still one or two people, and the artist still has to have a bunch of other people that they hire to make the situation move for them.
Right. But so for us as an agency, a lot of times people want to put us, especially when it comes to management, people want to put us in that boat of industry standard. But respectfully, like, we're an agency, we do so much more than everything she just outlines, like, we do 10 times more than that.
We do day-to-day management. We're doing the... Like, we have our team. We don't do day-to-day management, but our team is doing day-to-day. We're doing social media. We have a social media strategist and a social media manager. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, so we're doing strategy. We're writing posts. We're doing strategic alignment. So we're going out and getting partnerships. We're doing
branding,
marketing, branding. We're doing booking. We're doing most of your negotiations. We're shooting the content, editing the content. Yeah. We're doing graphic design because we have in-house designers. Brandon is building websites and landing pages for any type of specialty drop. Yeah. We're doing
email blast.
Email blast, text blast. We're onboarding you to new companies that can make your systems more efficient.
Right.
Yeah. Creative
it's
direction.
A it's an agency. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
We a one-stop shop, dead ass. Sorry, we've had to edit that.
Nah,
okay, we're a one-stop shop.
Facts. But yeah, so again, so we just want to like, and again, not even just, and this is not like, I don't want people to watch this and be like, oh, we talking about a specific situation or a specific person. How long you been in management?
This year will be my 12th year in management.
So, and you've been dealing with this since
the beginning. Yeah. Even when I wanted 15% with the first artist that I managed, they were like, well, why do we have to give you 15%? And I was like, here are all the things that I've done. And then when I started moving up, because those artists, when I left, stayed there, but I kept moving. So when I started moving up, I'm like, I'm charging everybody 20. So 4 or 5 years in, I'm at 20%. And even my artists were like, oh, well, you know, I hear some managers take 15. And I'm like, that's some. I'm not that.
Right.
And I don't do what they do. Even as a manager, I'm doing more things. But I also have an understanding and I have a way about me that to me, I got to charge more. So when we come to BYOD. Yeah, when we come to, and 20% ain't even crazy when I'm doing so much. That's like generous. We should be business partners, which is what we do with BYOD. So coming into BYOD, why would you think we would take 20% when we got 10 people on the team?
Right.
Plus you're getting two goats. And that's, again, respectfully, it makes no sense for me solo to have taken 20% 5 or 6 years ago, and now to be creating an entire full-scale agency and be like, yeah, we're cool with 20%. It doesn't matter how big of an artist you are and, oh, we're making more money. Regardless, that means if you're a bigger artist, we have to do more to power the system. So, yeah. And that's just one thing that's an industry standard. Even our contracts. So we also sign artists as a label. So when we were trying to sign artists, I had to have our lawyer draw up a unique document. And it took forever just to find a lawyer who could draw up the document because our artists own their masters.
Right.
So it's like people were like, well, how are you going to do that? And, you know, we came up with a structure, but it was a really unique structure. And so it took a long time just to get the contracts right. Investors. We made our investors equity partners for a certain amount of time, but all the equity belongs to me and you. So we give them a portion of the equity as if they own it, but they don't own it, basically.
Right.
Almost like we're leasing equity to them. So even that was like we had to figure out a structure, then explain the structure to our investors, and then get them to buy on. So since the jump, there's nothing that we've done industry standard.
And then let's talk about that. Let's contracts. It's like, you hear all the time about artists signing contracts and, you know, getting locked in and bad deals, but that because the industry standard is these contracts be 20 pages. It be words you never seen before in your life, y'all.
They'll tell you one thing on one page and then undo it 2 pages later, but like, you don't know it because it's in sign language.
Them joints, and I don't have that much experience on contracts, but the contracts I seen, I'd be like, I don't know what this is. Like, what are you talking
it's
about?
Predatory.
Why does it have to be this complicated? Yeah. Why?
Because people are doing it to get over on.
Exactly. Yeah. So, anyways, the whole point of this episode is not to, like, grieve about the incidents, but it's like, y'all, can we collectively kill industry standards, because I'm sick of it. It's
they
like,
were created in at least 70 years like, ago, but I feel like most of this stuff came around between like 1930 and 1950.
Facts.
It is 2023. It's 2023, and folks are still like, well, industry standard says you should do this. And it's like, well, industry standard has also netted black people a net negative, not net positive. Industry standard has honestly eaten up and chewed up and spit out a lot of good people in this industry because they couldn't afford to figure out how to make it work for them because they got screwed by so many people left and right. The industry standard isn't built for people to prosper. If it was, more people would be prospering and you'd hear about less people suffering the egregiousness of this industry. The music industry is a snaky, shady place, and it is treacherous if you don't know what you're doing.
Facts.
So, like, the industry, don't let people tell you. My mom used to always say this, like, something around this when I was a kid. She'd be like, that's the school standard. I expect more from you.
I was just about to say, we are not the standard. Everything we do, we go above and beyond.
People are walking, we teleport.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You got a bike? Cool. I teleport. This Wakanda.
Like, I don't even know what a standard is, because every time I'm on the court, y'all, I'm going crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm the nigga that's getting every rebound. You know what I'm saying? I'm the one that's playing defense the hardest on the court. I'm jumping, diving for balls. There's no standard for that.
I've never thought, oh, well, everybody is doing this, so this is what I should be doing.
Right.
I have never in my life.
I've never operated like that. Yo.
I set a standard for myself, and then when I recognize other people are nowhere near it, I'm like, I definitely can't look at them. I have to continue with what I believe that I'm called to.
Exactly.
If I'm looking at the standard as where I should be matching, then I'm already lost.
Facts. It's just the same thing, like, we was always taught, right, that the sky is the limit. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
that makes no sense.
How? You know how big the universe is?
Our logo is clouds because we believe that the sky is where we start.
You know what I'm
saying? If I can see it, then I'm starting there. If you're telling me something I can see is my limit, that means you don't think that I can go very far.
So when it comes to industry standards, like, don't even use that word around us, because we not.
It's insulting.
I feel like if you're a manager, or, you know, even an artist, I feel like it's just east. We in the age where it's like the music industry is different than how it was 70 years ago, right?
Even 10 years ago, it's way different.
Everybody's situation is different. You know what I'm saying? Our management look different from this person's management company or that manager. So I feel like going into negotiations or going in when it's time to write up a contract, it should be catered to your specific situation. Why would you be like, oh, well, industry standard says this? What? There's no guideline to this. There's no playbook. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to certain things like this, because we different. Like, how we do business, Building Your Dreams, is unlike any other company.
We're dream builders. Who do you know who does that?
Right. You know what I'm saying? And this is not, and then, you know, culture villains. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Travis, what they doing over there. Their company's different. Why would we be
fired?
Like, I want a contract to look like that contract. No, it's a different situation. They got a whole different company. They run their stuff how they run it. We run it how we run it. PB, you know what I'm saying? Over at, what's the name? I can't think of it. What's that?
I don't know.
Laura Child.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about, like, his LLC. But yeah,
no,
Laura
Child.
Yeah,
they run things differently.
Shout
and
out
we
to
have,
myself.
And he's one of our mentors, right? Even he was like, yeah, y'all do stuff this way, but this is how I do it. You know what I'm saying? How we be asking for advice. But I'm saying, like, he run his situation different. You know what I'm saying? Dame. He gave us some advice. He was like, well, I would do this, but this is my situation. You know what I'm saying? So it shouldn't be, industry standard says this. Like, yo, kill that noise, y'all. Please, if you're a new person, a new client, or you want to hit us up with our project, please don't miss another word industry standard we're talking to
us. Lawyers.
Respectfully.
Lawyers. Dead all that. Like, and that's the thing. When we first started, bucking against that was hard. All we had was like, man, he's spinning out.
He
like,
go crazy, Asha.
All we had was our understanding of our own self-worth, but knowing that we were going to go hard. And we let some people talk us down and kind of pull us closer. We've never really signed a standard contract, but we let some people talk us out of what we knew that should have been ours. And it's never worked out for us like we wanted to when that happens. But when we're like 10 toes down, I'm like, no, because it makes us want to fight harder when you recognize how valuable we are. And this isn't even on conflating our value, but it's like we're generous. Even with our artists owning their masters, even with us paying for their therapy through the fund.
Right.
I did an interview recently and I said, you know, generosity begets wealth. So this isn't us talking about like, oh, we're just trying to take everything. We can't be generous to our team and we can't be generous with our time if we're even barely scraping by. I'm not even trying to overcompensate for us. I think we're actually worth more than a lot of what we charge.
Facts.
But you got to start somewhere, but there's a level of respect and a level of hunger that everybody raises to when everybody has to sacrifice. We're coming in as sacrificial people. We're coming in as innovators and thinkers.
Come on now.
What we're asking is for reciprocity. When you step into the room, we want you to immediately sacrifice with us.
Right.
Everything is built on sacrifice. If you can sacrifice with us and say, I see what they have going on, I'm willing to step back from what I'm comfortable with because it's the industry standard, we all gonna eat. We right. gonna eat big.
Facts.
And this is we not this isn't a ploy about money, but it's just like when people come to us and they're like, oh, well, what do y'all, it used to just be our work ethic, but now we got a resume.
You know what I'm saying?
A different type of resume. So when people be like, when people say, oh, this and that, that's like Scooter Braun. Like, it's unheard of. Scooter Braun was taking 50% of his artist contracts, and people were like, what? But it's a partnership to him.
Right.
He's like, do you know who I am and what I can bring to
Facts.
This? That's the same energy we're walking in with. Do you know who we are and what we bring to this? You want us to be business partners, but you want us to eat like we work for you. Yeah, so industry standard is not something that is... It don't make sense. Our standard is our standard.
Right.
And we got the gold standard because we win championships.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And we just not even speaking from the perspective of, like, when it benefits us as an agency. But it's like, even with our artists, if
when
we going
negotiate
in,
deals.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if we go into a label, we talk to a digital company or whatever it is, it's like, yo, we not abiding by industry standard. We not going after how deals used to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, our joints be so creative, yo. It's like, we want this. Like, you know what I'm saying? We want this. We want that in here. They be looking at us crazy sometimes.
We just negotiated a deal. I'm not going to get into the specifics, but we just finished a deal. And the person that we did the deal with sent a memo that said, please remember that this is under NDA. We don't want word to get out that... that we let y'all
right.
have this. And I'm like, y'all didn't let us have anything.
Yeah.
You recognized that it was beneficial for you to work with us, so you gave us what we asked for because we're going to benefit you. And that's the same when I was at Def Jam. Def Jam was like, here, well, standard contract for new artists.
There it goes.
This is what, like 6 years ago, 5 years ago, when I take Caleb over to Def Jam, and I literally was like, don't sign us. He's too young,
right.
And I'm not going to give y'all anything. That I told them this. They still figured it out. They flew us up there. Even that, they were like, can you make it to New York? I'm like, you're a billion-dollar company.
Right.
Why would I'm working at a coffee shop. Telling Def Jam not to sign. I'm working at a coffee shop telling Def Jam not to sign us. We get up there, whatever, they send the contract. I realize we have a ton of leverage because they promised a song that we had to
right.
the Jets.
Right.
I've talked about this before. So they gave the Jets, they heard a song that I played in the office that we weren't even going to play. I played an older song. They play it for the Jets. The Jets want the song.
Come
Def
on.
Jam says, yeah, we own this song before the ink dried. So they start trying to pressure me, like, you got to sign the contract. I'm like, this is a terrible contract. I want these 17 things changed. And shout out to Marty Frascona, our lawyer, Caleb's lawyer. He was like, yeah, I'm rocking with these changes that you want. Like,
right.
let's go for it.
Right.
So we go for it. And I call him. I'm like, yo, did you know that they already promised the song to the Jets? He was like, how do you know that? I was like, well, I have a friend who's a friend of who loves Caleb, but he now works in the Jets front office. He told me that they're already playing the song. Like, crazy relationships matter. Anyways, Def Jam ends up giving us 15 and a half of the 17 things we asked for. I'm a brand new manager, new-ish in the hip-hop industry, because I've been working in rock, in the hip-hop industry, and they gave it to us. Why? One, because we had leverage, and two, because they knew it didn't make sense to let us go.
Right.
There was no benefit there. So we're not asking. When we go into rooms, we're not like, we need $1 million.
Right.
But here's the thing. We know we're different. And people know we're different. So what they, the only thing they can tell us is that's not industry standard.
Right.
They can't say you're, because we come with plans. We come with actions. We come with a resume. And we come with a contention plan. So if it doesn't work out, here's all the places that you still get to be safe.
Right.
We're the ones assuming the risk.
Right.
When you walk into rooms like that, they can't say nothing else but,
right,
well, it's not industry standard. So it's like, yeah, when we ask for stuff for our artists too, we're like, this and this and this and this is why. I had somebody else recently about the deal that just closed. They didn't know what we were about to get because we literally just signed the deal. And they were like, well, y'all should just play ball because, you know, if you do it like this and this and this, you'll have more leverage. I said, respectfully, that's them.
No, right. It's a different situation.
That's them.
That's what I
said, but we don't have to do that. I
right.
said, we live different. We move different. We have a different understanding. And because of that, we're going to get what we need. And if we don't, we'll go somewhere else.
Right.
Our thing is we'll say no to money just to have the autonomy. We've done it.
Come on now.
We do it every time. Everybody said, well, you got to do this. Okay, cool. We'll do it ourselves.
We do something else.
And then they'll come back. So don't let industry standards define you. But also,
right,
here's a caveat. Don't say I'm not succumbing to industry standards and then be a subpar deliverer. Like, you don't be sub, you have to be excellent, you have to be exceptional to demand this type of respect.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we are excellent and exceptional and consistent, and even if we don't know what we're doing right away, we're gonna learn.
Right.
We're gonna figure it out. We're gonna hire a coach. We're gonna invest in ourselves. But we walk into every room knowing that we're the championship team. Because we've won, we got rings on rings. You can't walk into rooms and say, well, I want this, this, and this, and you don't really have the experience.
Just like,
clout is not going to help you. You got to
right.
really be able to deliver. If you say, this is what I want, you got to be able to deliver
right.
to that.
When you bring the value, you have to have the value, and that's what we know we have. And like we preached in our last episode, we move with confidence. You know what I'm saying? We move like MJ. We're moving like Shaq and Penny.
Shaq
knew. He was the most dominant player in the NBA, right? He knew that when he first entered the NBA, he knew he was going to be the one of the most dominant players. So it's like, walk in that. So when we entered
Penny wasn't
rooms,
intimidated by playing on a team with Shaq,
yeah.
even though there was no insecurity with them playing together.
Right.
Because they recognized they both had different strengths and they brought different things
mm-hmm.
to the team. But overall, that was going to make the team win. So when you walk into a room, if y'all both know what y'all got, I love walking into rooms with people who know what they got, but who are like, oh, I can see that they know what they got too.
Right.
Let's respect that.
Right. So yeah, we just, and people going to hate us for this. People already be like telling labels not to talk to us.
People,
so when artists ask us for
labels
advice,
labels tell artists not to talk to us.
It's like, yo, but
we know
from
y'all ain't telling
jump,
us.
You know what I'm saying? From the jump, it's like we're about ownership, yo. It's a new time. It's a new age. So don't let industry standards define you. And it's even if you not even an entrepreneur. Like if you going for a new job, and it goes in the same. It's the same thing when you talking to your recruiter, right? Or your new boss that want to hire you, but they don't want to give you unlimited PTO or, you know what I'm saying? You can negotiate those benefits, y'all.
Don't be scared to be like, oh, well, I may lose this job.
Right.
If you know that you have the value, especially shout out to Black women. That's something that I was listening
yes.
to this podcast about. They said the average white man who asks for a raise has it based on nothing else other than typically conversations that he has with his friends. The average Black woman, when she asks for a raise, is based off of education, experience, all these different things, right? So typically we ask for way less because we're concerned that they won't give it
exactly.
to us. And there is racism, there are societal standards that keep us from things like that for sure. But I'm telling you, if you believe in what you have, don't let them devalue you.
Right.
Imagine, I know somebody, and there's Twitter stories about this too, but all sorts of stuff. But somebody who asked for $40,000 less a year than they could have got because they were scared to get it. And they were later found out, were told, went back and asked, and they were like, no, your contract is locked in. $40,000 a year.
That's crazy.
And I think it was like a 3-year contract. What?
Ridiculous.
What? That's $120,000.
Facts.
That's life-changing money.
Yeah.
So don't take less. If you know that you have set a different standard for your life and you're living up to the equation, go after what you believe.
And you had a resume, you have the value, you know what you can do, and they know what you can do.
That's why they're trying to devalue you.
Exactly.
They want you to be in a box and feel small so that you're always working for them.
Facts. So, yeah, this is our public service announcement. you know what I'm saying? Let's RP to the industry standards.
There's no such thing.
You know what I'm saying? Set those standards higher. Don't. I don't even know how to word it. Just kill it, y'all.
Don't succumb.
Just kill it. Yeah, like, if they trying to bring you here and you know you can go there, stick with that. You know what I'm saying?
And keep proving it.
There's other contracts out there. There's other jobs. There's other labels you can go to. There's
okay,
other
let's just
artists.
Do this real quick.
I just want
to talk about last year. Last year, we pitched so many artists, so many companies, and we were like, this is what we want to charge. It was half of what we believed we could get.
But we were like,
this is what we want to charge. I think I can't even name a number. It was at least 30 proposals that fell through just on us pitching. And it was like half of what we wanted, but we couldn't get anybody to lock in. This year, when we had the meeting at the end of the year, I said, we're not taking less than this. And it was way more than we were charging last year. First person we sat down with, hey, this is the price. And they were like, we can do that.
What? You know what I'm saying?
You begin to attract the opportunities that you want when you believe that you can have them. Ooh. But also, when you stick to your guns. We were talking about this literally this morning. Had we gotten any of those contracts or all of those contracts, we would have been overworked and underpaid and wouldn't have had the capacity to hold on to literally all of the incredible things that are coming.
To what God have prepared for
us. We have so many more things coming our way right now. It's less work for way more money, and it allows us to really thrive and lean into the situations versus hustling to get all these tiny little situations done to make way less money, to have a bunch more transactions. So, like, it's gonna be painful.
Yeah.
Last year we did not make a lot of money. We grew the team, we grew our influence, but it was a heavy investment.
Well, no, we made a lot, but we invested it back into the company.
We made more than
we actually, still didn't make what we wanted to make, of course.
We didn't make a lot back in the
company.
Yeah, but we invested a ton, but we're seeing it already this year pay off.
Right.
And I think we are going to be blown away by the end of this year of how it plays off. So there's no such thing as an industry standard. You are your own standard. Live up to yourself.
Come on now. So if you got stories, tips, advice, you know what I'm saying? This is not even to a point where we just know everything or whatever. If you got advice,
we're learning every day.
Let us know. Let's have a conversation. Drop it in the comments. Share. Tell a friend. We're trying to get to 500 downloads this month. We're currently at 200 still.
I feel like we're going to, by the time this drops, I feel like we're going to pass that.
Bad, that's
we're
where we're
hitting
at.
Every other week, we're like, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, like, share, comment, all of that. See y'all next time. Peace.